Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis, the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The psalm this morning is from Psalm 33. We will read this together.
Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions all the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds.
A king is not saved by his great army.
A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love,
to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, and our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.
The second lesson this morning is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Here ends the reading.
Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat. He will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night, or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me for the children's message. Have a seat. Have a seat. There we go. Is Luke coming today? Maybe not. But our new friend, Madison or Margaret? Maggie. Good. Madison's her sister. She's the baby. Come on, Maggie. Come have a seat, baby. Well, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
I have a question for you. Is there anything that scares you? I'm not going to scare you. I don't like being scared. Don't worry. What's something that scares you?
A spider.
A spider? A spider? Does a spider scare you? No, what's something that's, mom's ratting you out. She's saying it does. What's something that scares you, Maggie?
Monsters.
Oh, that's a good one. Ben, how about you? What's something that scares you?
I don't like mascots.
I don't like mascots? Okay, like at big sporting events when they're in costumes? Okay. That's that's a new one. But that's totally true. Yeah. What do you do when you're scared? What do? You run away? Yeah. Or maybe you do this? Hide? Or maybe run to mommy's or daddy's, right? Do you do that? When you see a mascot or a spider or a monster? Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus says something to all of his friends who are gathered there. He looks at them and he says, do not be afraid. What if the next time you thought of a monster or a spider or a mascot, you remembered those words of Jesus that said, do not be afraid. You know what Jesus calls all of his disciples? He says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do you know what a flock is? You heard that word before? It's a name for a group of animals, like a flock of birds, or a flock of chickens, or a flock of sheep, or a flock of goats, a flock of pigs. I don't know if it is, but we're going to say it is. Anybody going to dispute me? That's right. It's a flock of pigs. Yeah, a flock of animals. And if you think about it, who keeps all the animals safe like that at a farm? Me? Maybe. Sometimes if I'm at the farm, if I'm at the Luther Glen farm, you're right. But yeah, a farmer or a shepherd keeps all those animals safe. And that's sort of like Jesus saying, hey, when you feel scared of mascots or spiders or monsters, don't be afraid because I'm the farmer, I'm the shepherd, and I'm going to keep you safe. So we can remember that next time you think of something that scares you, because I get scared too. Remember that Jesus is the one who's going to keep me safe and keep me part of his flock, his group of animals, group of people, group of beloved children that he's going to keep safe always. Okay? Thank you so much for coming up here and thanks for sharing things that are scary with you. I'm a little leery to move this now after Kevin's magic trick. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd, you are the farmer, you are the provider and the sustainer. We pray that you would come into our lives and open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts to see your goodness at work. And provide us with all that we need. In your name we pray. Amen. So earlier this week I was talking with a friend of mine. He was also a pastor. Most of my friends are pastors, because we all kind of hang out together. And I was talking with her about this text coming up. And, you know, as we do, because this is our small talk, we say, what are you going to preach on? And she said, well, it's such a good text. I said, I know. I look at the first three verses, and I feel like I've got three separate sermons. And she said, so preach three sermons. That's what I'm going to do today. The three short sermons. Don't worry. I looked at the first three verses and realized that we have three different points that I wanted to share with you. Do not be afraid. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. And for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's that last one that I want to start with. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Earlier this week, I met up with Diana Holtzendorf to talk about what she was going to say for her temple talk. And I said, Diana, you won't believe what the gospel lesson is today. And I read it for her, and I got to the line, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I said, can you believe it? And she said, some people believe in coincidences, not me. And I said, I know. This has to be the spirit at work that the day she was going to share about legacy and trust that our gospel lesson talks about where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. There are some that believe that we shouldn't talk about money in church because it's taboo. But if you've been around and heard me preach at all in the last few years, you know that I'm going to share with you, Jesus talks about money a lot. Jesus talks about money and having and our possessions a lot, because even 2,000 years ago, money and what we have and what we do with what we have is important. So where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Oftentimes we try to reverse that, don't we? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. With what you love, there is where you will put all of your belongings and your money. But that's not the way this scripture goes. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Oftentimes we want to say, well, maybe if we love something enough, we'll give to it. But Jesus is saying, what if you look at it differently? What if you put your treasure into the place where you want your heart to be? He's talking specifically here about giving alms. And what if Jesus is saying, stop trying to reverse that. Instead, if you sell all your possessions, give alms, give to the poor, then guess what? That is where your heart will be. So often we want to make it an if-then. But we're not an if-then people. We are a because-therefore. It's not if something captures my heart, then I will give to it. But Jesus is saying, I have the power to turn it on its head. Jesus is all about turning things on your head, turning things on their head. And he's saying, if you give alms, if you give to those in need, then that is where your heart will be. You may have heard the phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. What if we turn that on its head and said, God will make a giver cheerful? If you invest your life into God, then your heart will follow. Which brings me to my next point. What do we invest in? Do we invest in things that are fleeting? Things that are temporary? The verse right before this, he says, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Now, I know it's a stereotype that women love shoes and love fancy shoes. I'm not one. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's not such a stereotype. We're getting show-off ones right here. I am not one of those women. Like, 85% of the time, I'm wearing black leather Mary Janes. That's just not my thing. But you know what I do love? Who said it? Purses! Purses and bags. These are my gathering of things. This is not my pile of purses, but I have to share with you, I just Google image, I typed in pile of purses and this came up. This is a little bit like, if there's ever a tote, a bag, I don't travel that much, but I have 5-piece matching luggage. I love things to carry things in. And inevitably, they'll usually just end up in a like bundle in my hands. But it got me thinking about this. This pile of purses, do we carry it in things that last or in things that wear out? And it actually made me think of all of these purses that I have, all of these bags that I have. In fact, I just received one from some family that was traveling the Philippines, and I'm so scared to use it because I know the first time I use it, it's going to fall apart because it's like very delicate. Instead, the bag that I use most often is actually this one. And I brought it today. This is the second backpack I've owned since high school. My 20th reunion was this summer. This is a canvas and bison leather Duluth Pack backpack made in Duluth, Minnesota. So when I was in high school, I owned one of those, you know, those nylon JanSport ones all the kids owned. And then my mother bought me this really nice backpack, and I was mortified because it didn't look like any of the rest of them. Luckily, the cool kids caught on about a year later, and I was like grandfathered into the cool backpack system. But I think about this is not a stylish bag. The color of this, I actually looked up to try and get a big picture of it. The color that I own is called olive drab. It's not stylish. But for 24 years, I've only owned two. Because my parents and then later me, we invested in things that last. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Purses that don't wear out, they may not be the most stylish, but they're lasting. Sometimes, as Christians, we're called to do things that are not stylish, but things that are lasting. Sometimes we have to do the hard things because they perpetuate the gospel of Jesus Christ. This last year, our national church body, the ELCA, had our church-wide assembly. And on Friday, they had a big celebration service celebrating special ordinations. Technically, in next year, but they're celebrating it this year, because it's only every 3 years, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the ordination of women. This year also celebrates the 40th anniversary of the ordination of African-American women and the 10th anniversary of the ordination of LGBT people. Now, I'm not, as a heterosexual woman, I'm not a member of that bottom category. As a European-American, I'm not a product of that middle category. But I am a very proud member of that top category. And I am thankful that our church looked at our world 50 years ago amidst the climate that was pretty unpopular and said, we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to let women tell people about Jesus. We need to let women be our pastors and our preachers, and they need to share the good news of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that almost 50 years ago, my church did something that wasn't popular, something that wasn't stylish, and something that to this day, some people will argue is not biblical. But as it turns out, did something that was lasting. Because when I was growing up, I belonged to a denomination that said, no, no, little girl, I know you think you are meant to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you're wrong. We'll find something else for you to do. Sometimes we need to work and create purses that don't wear out. Sometimes we need to do the hard work and face the adversity to remind the world of what Jesus died for. Sometimes you have to sit with the unpopular kid, not because it's stylish, but because your impact and kindness on that kid will be lasting. Sometimes you have to do the inconvenient thing and give your time to someone, even though you are not very patient. But it will be lasting in its effect that it has on you and the way your heart will be changed. It is easy to invest in things that are temporal. Our wealth, our own status, our appearance, our pride. But sometimes God asks us to invest in things that will last. In things that moths cannot destroy and thieves cannot take. Things that you may never see. Things that a pastor 50 years later will take with her as a gift that cannot be repaid, but one that she will send forward. The gift of God's grace, the unfailing treasures of heaven. With that as our prize, with that as our treasure, what have we to fear? Not monsters or spiders or mascots. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock. I preach this as much to myself as I do to you. Do not be afraid of scarcity. Do not be afraid of running out. Do not be afraid of putting your trust in God. Do not be afraid of being unstylish or unpopular or ill-equipped, because you have been given the kingdom of God. And it is the Father's pleasure. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you that kingdom. So what more could you want? What more could you need? What more could you be thankful for? So do not be afraid, for you have enough. You are enough. And most importantly, people of God, your God is enough. Amen.